Welcome back to Established. We're in week four. Next week is the final week of Established, but we're in week four. And we've been looking at what it is to be established in God. And we started our first week by talking about knowing God. And we talked about knowing God is not knowledge, it's relationship. It's not what we know in our heads, it's what we know in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. Then we talked about hearing God. And we learned that God still speaks today. He speaks through different means and different ways. And we asked the question, are we tuned into the voice of God? Can we tune ourselves in? Then last week we talked about serving God. And we learned that if we want to serve God, we really do it by serving other people. That serving God is not about, oh, some religious, pious thing. It's about feet to the ground. It's about hands in motion. It's about serving people. And today, we're going to talk about walking with God. Today, I'm going to give you a little bit more of a teaching rather than a preaching. Just I want you to understand what it is to walk with God. You'll notice all these things, knowing and hearing and serving and walking now, they're all verbs. They're all action words. They're all action-oriented. That living for God is living for action. That God doesn't expect us to just passively sit there. That's why actually the service this morning is just so appropriate for our theme today. It's like God knew. Duh. Right? Where you weren't passively watching a service. You were actively involved in worship. You were actively involved in praying for our missionaries who are sick. You're actively involved in praying over a family member who's moving away. You're actively involved. That's part of walking with God. I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's right near the end of your Bible if you don't know where it is. Just a couple of books from the end of the Bible and turn to 1 Peter 5. Just a couple of sentences here that Peter's going to talk about. This is Peter. This is Peter who's one of the disciples. Same Peter. He writes this letter and turn your attention to verse 5. Actually, the second half of verse 5. It says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Or cast all your cares, because he cares for you. See, walking with God always includes walking in humility with other people. That's what it's all about. And so Peter here is making a big deal about humility. You can't miss it in these verses. It's a big deal. Why is it a big deal? Because humility is our submission to God. Last week, if you were here, we looked at the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. How many of you remember that? We talked about how Jesus took off his garments and put on the garments of a slave and a towel. And he went around and he washed their feet. And we said that's a beautiful picture of servanthood. It's also a beautiful picture of humility. Imagine that. Jesus took one example to speak into our lives. Humility. So I want you to understand humility and some of the things about it that Peter wants us to know. And first thing we understand is humility is a choice. It's a choice. You can choose to walk in humility or you can choose not to. And that's why Peter says to us, clothe yourselves with humility. Just think about it. You got up this morning, right? How many of you got up this morning? Those who didn't raise your hand, I don't know how you got here. And one of the things you did this morning is you clothed yourself, right? That was your choice. You could have chosen to come here stark naked. We would have called 911, but you could have come here naked or in your pajamas. Maybe you've tried. Should have come Friday night for our kids' sleepover because the kids were here all night in their pajamas. It was pajama night. It's part of it, but not Sunday morning. Oh, man, I wish I could just walk around in sweatpants and a t-shirt all the time. But we choose to clothe ourselves, right? And that's what Peter is telling us, is you need to get up every day and choose to clothe yourself with humility. It's a choice. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. Humility is freedom from pride or arrogance. We have this wrong picture of humility. We think humility means, oh, I have to demean myself. I have to think low of myself. No, that's called low self-esteem. God has not called you to low self-esteem. He's called you sons and daughters of the Most High God. God's got no self-esteem issue with you. But sometimes we need to learn to walk in humility. You can be the prince of the king, but you better walk in humility. Humility is simply not thinking of ourselves at all. Humility, it ties right into serving. Humility says, I think of others before I think of myself. I think what I'm going to do with this affects others positively or negatively. Humility is a trust word. It's that I'm going to trust you, God, with who I really am. That I don't need to pump myself up or puff myself up or be prideful of myself. You always have a choice. You can choose to walk in humility. You can choose to ignore humility. And once you choose humility, then humility invites God's love to work in your life. Peter wrote, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore. Humble yourself. See, the opposite of humility is pride. God opposes the proud. God doesn't like pride. In the Old Testament, they list the seven deadly sins. Pride is one of them. God opposes pride. God's got no room for pride because pride is about pretending. Pride is about thinking I'm better than everybody else, which is pretending. Pride thinks more highly of yourself, but humility is reality. Pretending. God doesn't want us to pretend. See, recognizing an issue is the first step in dealing with an issue. You've heard that before in different ways. How do you know when there's a problem? You deal with it. You can't deal with a problem that you don't recognize. What are you pretending is not a problem in your life today? All of us have stuff. All of us are dealing with something somewhere along the way. We're told in James that we're all going to face trials and tribulations, that there's no way of going through life and skirting it without any problems. Problems come. And sometimes, you know, we come to church, we're the worst Christians. If you're not a Christian, you're not one of the worst. You are in a different way that you still need God to deal with your sin, but Christians come to church and sometimes they go, oh, brother, everything is wonderful, when deep down everything isn't wonderful. How are you today? Oh, if I were any more blessed, I'd be dead. I don't know. Like, what does that mean? Right? Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm living under the glory spout. What the heck is the glory spout? You've not heard those things? Come on, you've heard them. Yeah, I guess some people are being honest. It's reality. It's humility. It's a joke. You didn't get it. Okay. My kids would say, bad dad joke. They're going, they're nodding. Humility. It's being real with who we are. And understanding who we are in God's eyes and who God is to us. See, if you hide an issue, you can't deal with an issue. That's why recognizing an issue is the first step in dealing with it. And here's the thing. We bring our issue to God, and then God helps us to deal with it. Wait a minute. That's not the theology I want. I want the theology that says I bring it to God, and God fixes it. And there are some things that only God could fix. But there are lots of issues in our life that we bring them to God, and God says, great. Holy Spirit's going to help you fix that inside of you. Huh? I think I've told you this in the past that years ago, my mother was a piano teacher. And I didn't learn to play piano. And I remember sitting down at the piano in our house and saying, God, let me play. It didn't work. God, let me play. No. See, I had to go through the lessons. I would have had to learn, you know, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. I needed to learn my scales, and then I had to learn my chords, and I don't play. That's why I picked trumpet, because I was stupid enough to think trumpet only had three notes. That's why I originally picked it. Because I tried to do that, and there were too many notes to read. And, you know, piano players and keyboard players read more notes than one at a time. At least with trumpet, it was one at a time. And I thought there were only three vowels, so there were only three notes. Then they said, oh, no, there's combinations and embouchure. And right? But we think, God, you do this. I bring it to you. And you're like, you magically touch my hands. God, I bring you my problem. If my problem be anger, or if my problem be a habit, or if my problem be something, and I bring it to you, and you just go, zap me. And God says, no, you're going to learn to walk in humility. I will work through you. I will work in you, but you will have to do the work. There's a movie that came out a couple of years ago called Wonder, a Hollywood movie. It's about this family of four, a parent, an older sister, and a younger boy. And they named the younger boy August. And they call him Augie in the movie. And maybe some of you have seen it. It's he's a little boy that wears an astronaut helmet. See, because he was born with facial deformities. And the story tells us that by the time he's 10 years old, he undergoes 27 operations to help him see and hear and try and fix some of the deformities that were in him and on his face. And through all this time, he's homeschooled as he's going through all these things. And every time he'd go out in public, he would learn that he'd be better in public with the helmet. Now, people would notice the helmet, but they're less likely to make fun of him for his helmet than if they saw his face, because there was some deformity in his facial features, in his ears. And when he's 10 years old, going into grade 5, the parents decide to move him from homeschool to regular school. So he's going to walk into the school system. And you kind of see him the first day. He's walking to school with his parents, but he's got his helmet on. But then before he goes in, his dad takes his helmet off. Dad, I can't do that, he thinks. Augie, you have to. And so he goes through school. And the movie shows you, because, you know, sometimes children are just mean. That's the little bit of pride. That's why. It's a pride issue. They don't know it's a pride issue. It's just natural selfishness that comes inside of us. And sometimes the kids are mean to him, and then eventually they get to know him. And about halfway through the movie, the helmet disappears. He goes to look for it one day, and nobody could find it. It's like craziness when that happens. Craziness. You know, but then later on, towards the end of the movie, there's this touching moment, this touching scene between Augie's father and Augie. And Augie's father, I'm going to paraphrase, basically says to Augie, he says, I know where your helmet is. I took it. It's at my office. Dad, how could you take my helmet? You know that I feel safe in my helmet. You know I feel safe when I'm protected by the helmet. And his father says, Augie, I understand. If you want it, you can have it back. But, Augie, you're my son. And I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I love your face. And I love to see your face. And I want others to see what I see when I look at you. And it's just a touching moment in the film. See, sometimes we try to hide who we are from God. We think, if I can walk around with that helmet, if I can walk around with my mask on Sunday morning at church, if I can walk around and put my mask on before I go to small group, I could pretend everything's okay when deep down everything isn't okay. See, God knows who you are. God knows what you're facing. God may even know what you're ashamed of. But God doesn't see the shame. He sees the beauty of the son and daughter that he created. See, humility is being honest with God about yourself. Humility is saying, Lord, I'll take off my helmet. I'm going to say, here I am, God, all my warts and all my problems, and I come to you and I bring it to you. See, God loves you so much that he accepts you the way you are, and God loves you so much that he won't leave you the way you are. Do you understand? God loves you just the way you are, and he loves you so much that he won't leave you the way you are. God will work on you. He'll change you from the inside out. Humility is a choice. Humility invites God to work in your life. And humility allows you to give God your worries. Peter wrote these words, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We're to give all of our worries to God. See, humility is also an act of faith. It takes trust to submit to God in humility. See, we're afraid sometimes to submit to God. Let's be honest. We're afraid because we're afraid of what God might ask us to do. Come on. We're afraid. We think, God, if I give my life to you, what are you going to do? I know I was afraid that God would send me as a missionary somewhere around the world, in some place that didn't have electricity and running water. I'll be honest. I didn't want to go to Bible college. Not for me. Good for somebody else. Not for me. I ran for a couple of years. We're afraid to submit to God because what might you say? What might you ask? What might you ask me to give up? See, but submitting to God says, God, I'm going to trust you to work all the purposes of my life out. And here's the next hard part. God's going to do it in God's time. You know, my timetable and God's timetable, they're totally different. I've learned that, and even though I've learned that, I still struggle with that. Like, God, when I believe for something, I want it yesterday. And sometimes God says, wait a little bit longer. But God, I've been waiting for 5 years. Wait a little bit longer. And then, of course, God always says, you know, Abraham waited 25 years. And I said, yeah, in 25 years, I'll probably be dead. You know, but that's what it is. It's an act of faith. Now, why does Peter tell us this? Cast all your cares, your anxieties on God because he cares for you. See, there's a story in Peter's life. There's lots of stories in Peter's life. But Peter says this to us out of his own personal experiences with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. Many times Jesus corrected him, and many times Peter stepped out in faith like he walked on the water. But there's this one story, it's recorded in Acts chapter 12. You can go home and read that tonight. Mark that in Acts chapter 12. Make sure I didn't make this up, because it's an amazing story. And in this story, the nutshell is this. Persecution is coming to the Christians, and James the disciple, as in Peter, James, and John, that James was arrested by King Herod and executed. And when James was executed, the people cheered, yay! Herod thought, oh, this is great. I could make myself popular. Pride. I can be popular by killing people. Yeah. And so after he executes James, he arrests Peter so that Peter could be executed the next day. And Peter is in prison. He's in prison. He's with guards. And the Bible tells us he fell asleep. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, if it's me, okay, I'm in prison. Tomorrow's my execution. There's a couple things I need to do before morning comes. Like, I need to write out my last will and testament. You know, I want to write a letter to my wife and to each of my kids. I want to tell them, you know, it's okay. I love you. You'll be fine. You don't need me. Go for it. Right? I want to do, maybe I want to have some friends come and visit me in prison. I'm not going to spend that night sleeping. What do I need sleep for? Doesn't matter how tired I am tomorrow. Why rest? But Acts chapter 12 tells us that Peter falls asleep in prison because of peace. And then God sends an angel. See, he's cast all his cares on God. God, if I live, I live, okay, and if I die, I'll see you, Jesus. A little sooner than I planned, but we're good. You know, he missed Jesus. Jesus has been gone now a little while. Hey, I'll see Jesus again. So he's good. He's cast all his worries, all his cares, all his anxieties on God. And he sleeps. And so the angel comes and actually has to wake him and say, Peter, get up. And the chains fall off him and the prison doors just open. As Peter walks up to it like a Get Smart thing and the doors open. And he walks through, they close behind him, until Peter finds himself out in the street outside of the prison. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties on God, because he cares for you. Humility teaches you that you can give everything to God. And when we walk in humility, we can trust God with the result. We may not know what the result is. Peter gave everything to God. God, if I'm alive in the morning, I'll need my sleep. And if I'm not alive tomorrow, it won't matter. I cast all my anxieties on you because you care for me. See, God shows his love to you. He gives you the courage to face your cares and not run away. God shows his love to you. He gives you wisdom to understand the situation. God shows his love to you. He gives you the strength to do what you must do. God shows his love to you. He gives you faith to trust him. Batsurai, would you come back, please? To walk with God means to walk humbly. How do we walk with God? We walk humbly. We understand who he is, that he is the great God. And we walk humbly before him and with him. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Before I close, I just want to take a moment. That maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never been to church before in your life. Maybe you've never heard the stories of the Bible. Or maybe you have and they're old hat to you. But whoever you are this morning, as we're talking about walking with God, you're sitting in your seat right now saying, I don't even know who God is. If you're here this morning and you've never met God, the series started by knowing God, but you don't know God. Maybe you know about him, but you don't know him personally. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to know God personally. I want to know this God that you're talking about. I don't want to know him just in my head. I want to know him in my spirit, in my soul, my heart. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand so I could see it? Would you would you all stand with me this morning? Humility is a choice. It's a choice that you must make every day. It's a choice that you have to decide to walk in every situation. Humility is an invitation. It's an invitation to say, God, come and work in my life. I take off the helmet. I stop hiding from you. I bring who I am to you, warts and all. It's being truthful with yourself and with God. Humility allows you the privilege of placing all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your burdens, and giving them to God and learning to trust God with them. That's the hard part. Is there anything that you need to give God today? Is there anything that you need to give to God today? Are you carrying something this morning? Are you carrying something that's got you weighed down? Are you carrying something this morning that is bothering you, that is causing you to lose sleep? Are you carrying something today that just bothers you at every turn? Something that every day you just can't seem to shake it. It could be a financial problem. It could be a work situation. It could be a relationship problem. It could be a child that you're concerned about. Is there something today that you need to give to God? If you're carrying something this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. You're going to say it's foolish, Pastor. Just humor me then. All the way from the balcony to the front row. If you're carrying something today, I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to carry it. Then I want you to come to the front and I just want you to drop it. And as you do that, say, God, I'm giving this to you today. Would you step out of your seats if that's you this morning? Would you come?